Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. It is May 3rd, 2016. I'm Dan Cherry. I am High Pragmatist on the internet. You can find me on YouTube and other places. I am highpragmatist@gmail.com if you want to get in touch with me. I don't normally like to give that email address, but I'm giving it today because there's important information I'm going to be giving about my experience with ulcerative colitis and my struggles going through the whole process of trying to deal with it, the problems I had with doctors and in hospitals and on, not listening to me or being prescribed drugs to try to alleviate my symptoms of colitis. And I'll talk about the insanity of why they do what they do in this particular program. And I found myself inspired to do this particular radio show based on not only my having cured severe ulcerative colitis that I had for close to 20 years, but also because I came across a friend of mine a few months back who I had seen for the first time in about 20 years, unfortunately, at the memorial service for my dad who had passed away this past year. And he took a particular path toward dealing with Crohn's disease, which, as bad as colitis had been, I don't know if colitis could be worse than Crohn's. I've never had Crohn's, but colitis was horrifying. Anybody out there who may either have it or know people who have it, you will know how absolutely horrific it is. I can't even think of a word off the top of my head right now, an adjective to describe it, and I'll be using words to describe my experience throughout the show here. But he has Crohn's disease, and it's progressed. I went the holistic way. I went the path of healing myself through nutrition and having the mindset that that's what I was going to do. And I don't know if I was fortunate in having done what I did or if I was just plain being practical about it, which is why I consider myself the I pragmatist, because my approach to so many things in life is very practical. And being pragmatic, of course, means that you're practical. And what that means is you can look at things objectively, from a distance, if you will. You could look at everything that's going on in a particular situation, whether it's Middle East wars or the insanity of Obama about to go to war with Russia or the medical establishment not helping us and wanting to keep us sick so that we take pharmaceutical drugs, and the pharmaceutical drug companies make a ton of money, and then they end up passing that money on through the hands of people to the doctors who prescribe the drugs in the first place, and the politicians are bought off by the pharmaceutical companies for allowing them to sell these drugs without scrutinizing them. And my friend Jim went the other direction and believed in the medical establishment and took pharmaceuticals. And he's gotten so progressively worse. He's on hormones now, and he looks awful. And I'll describe this in a little bit. I want to put out a warning here. I am going to say things that might bother you if you're weak in the stomach about medical types of things. I'm going to talk about bleeding, and I'm going to talk about how sick I was with colitis. I'll describe what it is, how it came about, what it did to me, and I'm going to use some strong wording that may make you queasy. And if you're not real strong, if you can't listen to this, I highly recommend that you do not listen to this program. This isn't one of those things where you turn on a television program and they bring on some investigative discovery program or something where they're going to be talking about autopsies or whatever, and they might show a speck of blood here and there at a crime scene, or they might fake a person being dead laying on the ground, and it's all fake. But they're trying to warn you that if things bother you, don't watch. This is real, okay? What I went through was absolutely terrifying, and I'm going to explain the whole thing. And the reason I'm doing this, again, is because I saw this friend of mine, Jim, recently at my dad's memorial service, and I can't help but to think, and I'm hoping I'm not going to manifest this, of course, but I can't help but to think that he's going to be in really bad trouble soon, and I'm so saddened by that, because I've come to the realization there are two paths you can go by in the long run, as Led Zeppelin said in Stairway to Heaven song. You can either go down the path of realizing that the human body is remarkable and that people haven't gotten as sick as they are today because they ate nutritious food and they didn't get inundated with GMOs and sugars and chemtrails and fluoride in the water and pharmaceutical drugs and vaccines and on and on. There's so much to talk about here. I try to cover as much of this stuff as I can. And instead, there's another path you can take, is to go along with what your doctor says and what the medical establishment says to do, and to take the pharmaceutical drugs and to listen to all of them and to watch the commercials on television for any particular type of disease you might have, an ailment, where they tell you about all the side effects. And they say, okay, you've got diabetes. Well, here's this new pill. And if you take this pill, your symptoms of diabetes will lessen. You'll feel less tired or whatever. I don't know much about diabetes. I'm just making an example here. But they'll tell you right up front, they'll say, we'll help your symptoms of diabetes, whatever they are, but you may develop brain cancer. You may lose your fingers from lack of blood flow. You may lose the ability to have sex. You might die. You might get high blood pressure. You might not be able to go to the bathroom. You may have this problem, that problem, the other thing. If any of you out there are listening to this and you've seen those commercials, and there are more and more drugs that are constantly being pushed out through the television set, which is why we all ought to shut the television set off. But I find myself laughing, actually, in a sick, ironic way, because you'll see a commercial one day, and maybe a week later, a month later, a year later, there's a new drug on the market for the same thing that you were just watching a week or a month or a year before about, say, diabetes or lupus or fibromyalgia or colitis or Crohn's or any number of things that are ailing us right now. My view, and what I'm going to explain about my experience with severe ulcerative colitis, I'm going to let you know what my thoughts are about where the medical establishment lies, where the pharmaceutical companies lie, where Congress and the people who pass laws, their thoughts lie, Food and Drug Administration, where their thoughts and aspirations lie. And it's not going to get pretty. And I'm telling you, if you know anything about ulcerative colitis, you're going to know what a dreadful, dreadful disease it is. I had it. I do not any longer have it. And that's why I'm doing this show. There presently have been reported over the last year or two, there's some 20 to 30 holistic doctors who are people who don't adhere to the medical establishment. They figure out their own ways to heal people through nutrition and such things and therapy and in sunshine and vitamins and supplements. These are holistic people who believe in truly helping people. They're not trying to make money off this. They are just plain able to make money because there's so many damn sick people out there who at times, like me, will go to them and say, please help me heal myself through nutrition. I've gone the pharmaceutical route. I've gone the medical establishment route. I've gone the congressional regulation route, the FDA route. I've gone there, and they made me sicker. What are you working on? Can you help me? I've told many people many times, and I will stand behind it, and I will never, ever stop saying this in my life, that after everything I've been through, and if you know me, you at least know some things I've been through. I've been ravaged throughout my life with many broken bones, illness, depression, and many other things. I have been through shit you cannot even imagine somebody would have to live through. And I have remained pretty damn healthy, or I brought myself to health, I should say, from things that could very well have killed me. And I'm talking disease. I'm talking ulcerative colitis. I'll describe this more in detail. But also just having to deal with things, say, from a spiritual level. I'm not religious. I explained that on my other programs. I don't have a problem with people who are religious. I'm not in a place of judgment. If you walk up to me and say, well, the Lord helped you, whatever, I'm going to just say, hey, yeah, that's cool. And instead, I'm going to be looking back and saying, there's something else that I believe in. The reasons why I went down the path I did, and it didn't have anything to do with God. That's my own belief. If I offend you, well, you know what? I'm not even going to say, oh, sorry, because I'm not sorry. I am spiritual. I have a certain amount of Buddhist in my life, my belief system, my existence. And another thing that is a real test throughout all the stuff I've been through has been the mental aspect, the psychological aspect of it. I've known people who've gone through far worse, or I should say far less, than I have, who became completely incapable of dealing with life. There have been people who have gone through much more than I have, who have done better than I will ever. So there are all these variables that exist where people, again, maybe have gone through less, but they weren't able to deal with it. And you meet them and you realize that they're not who they used to be. And yet there are other people who have gone through, in my own experience, I'll come across somebody who's been through more than I have, and yet they have fired to even higher expectations for themselves, and they have become remarkable people. My firm belief is the more you go through in life, the more tests you have, the more shit that you have to go through, regardless of the reasoning behind it, whether you drink too much, or you've had a car accident, or you've fallen off a balcony and broken bones in your back, or you've gotten Crohn's or colitis or lupus or fibromyalgia or Lou Gehrig's disease or diabetes or cancer or whatever. The tests that we go through, we have to fight off the negative aspects of that and maintain a positive attitude regardless of where we are. Even if you're laying in your deathbed, you still have to look back and say that was remarkable that I was able to be here and I experienced life and I'm about to die and I'm scared shitless. But we all die anyway. I've been through my own experiences. We all have. I've been through some awful experiences. Maybe we all have. I don't at all try to make it sound like I've been through anything more than anybody else has, but I seem to have gone through a lot more than many other people have, only based on experiences I've had talking with people. I've explained to a lot of people what I've been through, and they look at me at times with horror in their eyes, thinking, I can't believe that happens to people. And I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, you're horrified by what I've been through? You better prepare for what you're about to go through. It happens to pretty much everybody. We all get a disease or we get sick or obviously we all die. And I embodied in my firm belief, and I'm going to say this, and I'll say it again, and I'll say it again. Every morning I wake up and I'm alive. Even if there isn't a conscious thought in my head, how good I feel, I recognize I am the luckiest person who stalks the face of the earth. And I say that with conviction because of what I've been through. And I understand the human will to live. And I've been through it. And I've been through shit. I could tell you shit you wouldn't even believe somebody would go through. People who have had cancers and such things, that is probably a bigger test of life than what I've been through. I don't try to compare myself against other people in any way, shape, or form. But I do know that a good majority, actually, of my adult life has been in a very compromised state, whether it was mental, spiritual, or physical, or a combination of all three or two or whatever. So I go to my dad's memorial service. And by the way, again, I want to warn you people. I'm going to say some things that might really bother you. Okay, if you know my previous shows, I'm not politically correct. I'm not going to talk about my ass as an anus, okay? I'm just going to plain say I was bleeding out my ass, all right? I'm about to say stuff like that. If that bothers you, stop listening to my program right now. I'm trying to reach people right now who know what I'm talking about. You want to listen to my other shows? I talk about political things, current events, stupidity of the wars in the political system, in the whatever system. This show in particular is about a very intimate experience I had that is gross, horrifying in ways. But it was a true testament to the understanding that we can heal ourselves. And it's not through the medical establishment we need to go. It's not through pharmaceuticals, the drugs you see on television. That's not the way to go. I went through severe ulcerative colitis, and I'll explain what that is. For 15 years of my life, without knowing what it was, having doctors tell me there was nothing wrong with me and that it was in my mind, I'll explain how this whole thing happened. I'm going to try to encase it in the time frame I have for the show. But again, I'm going to tell you right now, if medical things bother you, if I say I'm bleeding, I'm this, that, and the other thing, that bothers you, stop listening right now. This isn't investigative discovery on television where you're going to be seeing fake bodies on the ground with fake blood on them and that kind of thing. This is real, and I'm going to say things that may very well disturb you. And if you're not in life to understand things like this, if you don't have a need to understand human suffering, if you're not a person who has such a disease and might want to learn how to help yourself, don't listen to this program. I can't be more emphatic about warning you about this. And I'm not going to be talking about cutting people up. That's not my point. I'm going to be talking about the horrifying experience I had with ulcerative colitis. Just absolutely disgusting destabilizing disease I had to go through and many other people go through, obviously. So anyway, like I said, this whole thing was inspired, if that's the word to use, by a friend of mine. I'll call him Jim. And my friend Jim and I both developed relatively similar diseases at the same time. This is going back, say, 20 years ago, whatever it was, maybe a little longer. His story and my story are very different. I don't know what caused Jim's Crohn's. I don't know what causes other people's colitis. But I do know what caused mine. I know for a fact what caused mine. And that's what made it all the more disturbing to recognize that I ended up with something that I didn't cause myself. Somebody else did to me. And I'm going to explain what I'm talking about here shortly. There's a set of diseases out there called autoimmune diseases. And that includes the names I brought up earlier. You got colitis, Crohn's, lupus, fibromyalgia, Lou Gehrig's, certain forms of cancers, if not all of them, and many other diseases. Off the top of my head, I'm not even going to try to think of more of them, but I'm not a medical person, so I'm not going to try to guide you in any way, shape, or form. I'm only going to tell you about my experience. I cured myself of an incredibly dreadful disease that I was told I could never cure myself from. Only because I thought outside the box and said, fuck the medical establishment, fuck pharmaceutical drugs, fuck the doctors who are all telling me that there was nothing wrong with me, fuck all of you. If I hadn't taken that attitude, if I hadn't gone through the experiences I did and had the luck I did, because I do think there was luck that went throughout this whole thing, and I'm going to explain this again in a minute. I'd be maybe dead by now. And instead, I healed myself, and I haven't been more healthy over the last 30 years since I was a kid. A kid. I spent 30 years of my life ill in some way, shape, or form. Or there was severe damage to my back that I sustained in a fall in a college fall where I got pushed off a second-story balcony. I won't get into that. I just had a hip replacement, which took years off my life to try to heal from that. Just the pain and problems I had leading up to it and infections and whatever. I had a horrifying break in my leg years ago that took a long time to heal from. I had colitis for 15 years of my life, 20 years of my life, really, even after I met my gastroenterologist who put me on an autoimmune, a suppressor drug, an immune system depression drug, made my life no better than it was with just having colitis and leaving it alone. I'll explain that. But also just I moved around the country a lot. I tried different jobs. Ended up very frustrated in the industry I was in, which was IT and telecom. I just really suffered. I've struggled a lot. And that made what I just described may sound like it was incidental. It wasn't at all. There's been some really awful things I've been through. Anyway, I don't feel sorry for myself. If anything, I'm humbled and I am encouraged by the very struggles I've been through, because I've survived, and who was it, Nietzsche said, that which doesn't kill me makes me stronger. Whoever said that, I believe it was Nietzsche. I've just come to realize how absolutely wonderful life is, nutrition is, good food and sunlight and the right vitamins and minerals and clean water and all this stuff, which is what we don't get now. I was watching the other night on television. I don't tend to watch television very often. As a matter of fact, there are only very select few things I will watch, like the DIY channels where they're showing you how to fix a kitchen up or whatever. I don't tend to watch Game Show Network. At least I do once in a while. But I won't watch Kardashians. I won't watch 99.9% of the shows out there. I just won't. And I'm just very busy and doing other things. I've got hobbies. I've got a house. I've got animals I got to take care of. I got a yard to mow. I got a lot of things going on, no different than probably a lot of you do. Dancing with the Stars was on last night. I saw it for the first time. I stopped on it for about 10 seconds and changed the channel. I was sickened by it. I can't believe people watch that. If you do, again, I'm not going to say, oh, sorry for saying what I did. I'm so sorry that I may have offended you. No, I don't feel that way at all. I'll never say I'm sorry. If I ever do, please understand that I didn't actually mean to say I was sorry, because I don't give a fuck. You should know that by now if you've listened to my shows. So anyway, here I go to my dad's memorial service, and it was just obviously a very moving thing. Anyway, I mean, you can't just go through a death of a family member and not have things really affect you and those around you and have to deal with all the, oh, I'm so sorry for your loss. I mean, what do you even say to people like that? They don't know anything else to say either. So you just accept it and you hug each other and say, hey, whatever. So I'm at the church and I'm greeting people who are coming into the church. Friends of mine and or friends of my family and or friends of my dad. And my friend Jim comes in. And I knew he was not well from a long time ago. And he's now on steroids. I never got that far. I was put on some drugs that I can't even believe I took them. But anyway, he's say my height. I'm a small frame guy, about 5'6", 5'7". And Jim's about 5'6", 5'7". He and I were always basically the same height, about the same weight, whatever, 160, 170. Healthy, where I guess I feel like I am right now. Not even guess I feel where I am right now. I'm probably 170, 175. I like the weight. I was this weight and size in high school. I mean, how many people do you know who haven't gained weight or had other changes in their bodies or whatever? I'm essentially the same shape and size, color, form, everything that I was in high school, which is a funny thing. But anyway, here's my friend Jim, who is on steroids, and he's ballooned to be huge, which is what steroids do. It's not a judgmental thing. But I hadn't seen him in probably 15, 20 years. And he comes up to me, and he was huge. I'm not talking 300 pounds, but he's probably, I don't know, 200, 225. I mean, it was very noticeable that something had changed in his life, and I knew what it was. And I had spoken with my mom a bit about it because she's very close to Jim's family, and she had told me that he was struggling with Crohn's. And I know Crohn's is just as dreadful as colitis could be, probably even worse. And the reasoning behind that, I might bring up why I think Crohn's might be worse than colitis. But regardless, they're both just fucking horrifying things to have to deal with. So I'm looking at Jim. And at this point, understand, I no longer have colitis. I don't have the symptoms of colitis. Thank God for that. And understand, I don't believe in God. I just use that as a expression. But here's Jim, and I'm looking at him, and he seemed to have had, and I may have misread this, but he seemed to have had a look of contempt, as though he was looking at me and hated me because I was not ill anymore, but he was sick as a dog. I would imagine, and I don't know this, but I would imagine that once you get to the point where you're on steroids, things are not real good in Dodge. I never got to the point where I was on steroids, but I was on some pretty heavy medication for what I had. So having the compassion I have and the empathy for all living things, it saddened me to recognize and understand where he is in his life. I repeatedly told my mom to talk to him about what had cured me of my ulcerative colitis. And he told my mom repeatedly that, no, my doctors say I'm not to take anything along the lines of this, that, and the other thing. I am to take these medications, and I will be able to manage my problem. So my story is this. In a very unfortunate turn of events, which ended up just being actually a very inspiring place for me to be, and I will say at this point, before I go any farther, I am incredibly humbled by what I've been through in life. And I have learned from it. I have gotten through it. I fought through it. I never gave up hope, ever. I dealt with some real deep depths of despair in my life. We all do. But I always laughed my way out of it and just thought, how much worse could things possibly be? The only real place I can go is up from here. So I always had, somehow I had an inspiration that as deep and dark as things got for me in life at times, even if I was crying my eyes out, I'd start laughing and saying to myself, it can only get better. We all live in some dark times. If you don't, I could easily say that you're very fortunate, but at the same time, I think based on the Buddhist beliefs I have, I don't know that being able to skate through life without learning anything from suffering, I don't know that that's a good thing. And I'm open to anybody saying, hey, you're nuts, Dan. I'm okay with that. You, as long as you want to have a constructive conversation with me and not argue with me and tell me I'm an asshole or something for things I say, I'm cool with any objection you have to what I say. Talk to me. Even if we agree or disagree, we have to agree to disagree. It's that simple. So if I say I'm not religious, that doesn't mean that I judge you for being religious. It doesn't have anything to do with that. That's what you need to understand about me. If you ever interact with me, you have a conflict with me, don't attack me. Come to me and say, hey, I heard you say this. I disagree. Why did you say this? This is what I think. And I'm totally into having a great constructive conversation. That's what's lacking in so many different situations we live in life, is that people get emotional. And I might say something like, well, God damn it. As a matter of fact, I was talking with a friend of mine a couple of days ago who is religious, who's Christian. And I said, oh, Jesus Christ. And I stopped and I thought, yeah, I even thought about that. And I looked at him and I said, I'm sorry for saying that. He said, for saying what? I said, Jesus Christ, I didn't mean to offend you. And he said, well, to be honest with you, I wasn't even paying attention, but yeah, that does bother me. And I said, okay, I'll try not to say it again. So I'm good with things. I'm good with explaining things or talking and interacting. We don't need to bring politics or religion into anything, because a wise man once said, you can't argue politics or religion. You will never get anywhere. It never goes anywhere. You will always have a disagreement. But if you can agree to disagree, that's a very mature place to be, which is not where a majority of the world exists right now. I know this for a fact. I've lived too many places, read too many books, too many articles, seen too many videos, seen too many wars, seen too many political situations, laws and regulations that are passed that make no sense at all, that harm people, even though the very people who are passing those laws are claiming that they're going to be helping people who are needy, who are hungry or need education. I get it. I get a lot of this stuff. Anyway. So I see my friend Jim, and it just brings me back to what happened to me. I worked in in a manufacturing plant. I'm in upstate New York near Rochester, and I'm in a huge manufacturing plant. This is 1994, and I had an equipment cart. Now, this thing was probably, say, 6 feet long, about 4 feet wide, had a huge metal handle on it on the end where I was. That went up about, not even about, it was actually perfectly abdomen height to me. And I was pushing probably, say, 2,000 pounds, 1,500 to 2,000 pounds of really heavy equipment to from one end of a building to another. Now, these are real heavy equipment carts. These aren't just some little shopping cart types of things. These are real heavy-duty things. And thankfully, the floors on these manufacturing plants are basically perfectly straight. There are no ups and downs. It's, these buildings are very well built. I won't name the company that I was working for at the time. So I'm pushing this cart down the hallway, and it was so heavy, I had to lean all my weight and push as hard as I could against this cart to make it move to get to where I had to bring all this equipment. Well, unfortunately, this big, huge handle, which is probably, God, at least the size of, say, I don't know, the fat end of a baseball bat, all the way around. It went up from one side of the cart, and then it curved straight across, which is where my abdomen was, and then curved back down to the other side of the cart that I was on. And I'm pushing this thing down the hallway, and I had gotten momentum. Now, if you understand momentum, you understand weight and mass and all that stuff and acceleration. You understand this stuff. You understand movement, the whole physics thing. And there's a guy named Don. I was going to mention his last name. I'm not going to. Who is one of the technicians in the building who used to have to drive around and fix things, whatever. And they had these electric carts, and they're bright orange. So if you ever seen them, you're going to know what I'm talking about. They're a shrunken version of a golf cart, but weigh much more than a golf cart does. These things are all metal and all batteries. They are nothing more, nothing less. These things weigh, I can't even imagine how much they weigh. I couldn't imagine how much they weigh. They have to weigh at least, say, 1,000, 2,000 pounds. And this guy comes flying around a corner. I'm walking down the hallway. He comes around a corner. I didn't even see him coming. He flies around the corner and starts heading straight for me. Now, he and I knew each other. We weren't friends in any way, shape, or form. We worked for different companies. There was no reason for him to have done what he did. I didn't know him. I didn't know what his thoughts were. I didn't know what his miscalculations were. I didn't know how fucked up he was or is. He comes flying around this corner on this cart. Now, understand again, I'm pushing something, say, the weight equivalent of, say, 2,000 pounds. He comes flying around on this electric cart that weighs, say, 1,000 pounds. Let's just put it 1,000. I'll be conservative here. And he sees me pushing this cart down the hallway and is so fucking stupid and ignorant that he starts driving straight at me, and he's holding onto the steering wheel, going back and forth, going, I'm going to hit you, Dan, kind of thing. I never in a million years ever would have thought that somebody would slam into this cart that I was pushing. Never in a million years did it ever cross my mind that this guy would have been such a minuscule fucking brain deficient fucking piece of shit that he would have slammed into this cart that I was pushing. But he did. The equivalent weight, the mass that slammed me in the gut because I was leaning over this handle with all my weight, all my power that I had, thousands of pounds, slammed me into the abdomen, bruised all of my organs in my gut, all of it. I had miniature lacerations all over my whole gut. Everything shut down. Everything from my kidneys, my liver, my intestines, everything stopped working. It knocked the wind out of me. At first, when he slammed into me, I went forward, of course. Imagine my body. I mean, this handle is at abdomen height. So he hit me. He hit the cart. I went forward, and I've already had major back problems. I went forward. And then when all the momentum stopped, I whiplashed my neck and back again and fell backwards, flat on my back, slammed down on my back. Wind knocked out of me. I couldn't breathe. I couldn't talk, nothing. And I laid there for a second. Now, this is after a bunch of other things that I've been through where I really hurt my back. I went through some horrifying shit. I'm not going to get into it. But you can't keep me down. At least he couldn't from having done that. I finally stood up, couldn't breathe. I could barely breathe, and I looked at him, and I pointed at him, and I said, you fucked up. That's all I could say. And I walked away trying to gain my breath, not knowing anything about the damage that had just happened. I should have just laid there, asked to have somebody call 911 and get an ambulance, and then sue the shit out of them. I didn't think to do that, only because of I don't like lawyers. I don't trust them. I don't like doctors, and I don't trust them. So I'm laying there. I get up, and I walked away. So I'm starting to have back pains and abdominal pains days after that. And 5 days later, I still wasn't able to go to the bathroom. I could urinate, but I couldn't take a shit. This is where I'm getting into. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to start saying things that might bother you. If it bothers you, cut off here. And I'm going to have to cut this short and truncate it only because I only decided to have a 60-minute show. I should have made this 90 minutes. 5 days after he hit me, I still hadn't gone to the bathroom. And I could tell that I was in trouble. And I could tell that I had a blockage in my intestines, and I didn't know what to do about it. So I went to a local hospital, which was a huge mistake, but in the long run, it turns out that I made a good decision because it made me who I am now. And I went in at 10 at night, told them what had happened, and the nurse, who was a complete fucking buffoon, fucking piece of shit woman, told me at a point, actually, that she believed that I was in the hospital trying to get pain meds just because I wanted to take pain meds because I was a drug person. I like to do drugs, which I would never do, ever in a million years. I went in, I told her what had happened, and rather than taking x-rays, I told her, I haven't shit in 5 years. Rather than, what would your first thought be? I'm going to ask anybody who's listening right now. I know what mine would have been. I would have said, you haven't shit in 5 days, but you're still eating. I need to look inside your system and figure out what's going on. I would have taken an x-ray. It never dawned on this brain-dead skank to do something like that. There's your medical establishment for you. And at a point, again, she told me at numerous points, I think you're just here because you're trying to get pain medications because you want to do you like doing pain meds. She told me that, right? This is not fabrication. Everything I'm going to tell you here is true. Why would I lie about anything like this? Like, I got time to be doing an hour-long show lying to you? So she came in at a point and said, here's some laxatives. This should clear your system out. And I said, I have taken probably 10 or 20 of those today, and nothing's happening. She said, well, these are super-duper. And I thought, cool. Okay, went along with it. At that point, what do? You have to believe in somebody helping you. And she gave me these suppositories, and I drank a bunch of water, and nothing happened. And again, understand, this is about 10 o'clock. I went to the emergency room. Had my own room. I'm on a bed. Came to about, 1 o'clock in the morning. She came in, and she said, do you feeling anything? I said, nope. She said, okay, we need to try something else then. She went out, she came back in, and she said, here are some suppositories. Why don't you try these? And I said, I've probably taken 5 or 10 of those so far today. Well, these are super duper. These are like high grade, fucking AAA grade pharmaceutical, fucking rev you up, motherfucker, going to clean you out for the rest of your life. Took them. Nothing. Probably about 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning, comes in. Anything? Gone to the bathroom? Nope. Feel anything moving? Nope. She said, okay, got something else I want to try. At this point, I'm losing faith, you can imagine. And she comes in and she gave me something called citrate of magnesia. I'm going to tell you something. You ever get blocked up? Take citrate of magnesia. So she has me drink. It's a liquid, and it tastes like shit. It tastes like a super sugared up 7-Up, just disgusting. So I drank that, and I'm drinking water, whatever. And by the time it was probably 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning now, I had been in there, what, 8, 10 hours? She comes in, anything? I said, nope. No gurgling? Nope. No movement? Nope. Okay, well, I better bring a doctor in. And I'm thinking to myself, what the fuck is wrong with you? You should have done that from point one. So now this is a Sunday morning at 7 or 8 in the morning. And I'm worried sick because I had known people who had had their intestines burst and ended up having to have their intestines removed and colostomy bags put in. And if you don't know what a colostomy bag is, look it up. C-O-L-O-S-T-O-M-Y. It's where they cut out your intestine, sew it to your stomach, cut a hole in your stomach, and then stick a bag on there that you have to replace every day. And that's how you shit. You shit into a fucking bag, and then you fucking take it off and then stick another one in. This is on the outside of your body. You got to walk around with a shirt, whatever you're wearing, and you got a fucking plastic bag that's collecting your shit as you're shitting. Instead of shitting out your asshole, you're shitting out a hole that they cut in your fucking stomach. And I'm not knocking that, and I'm not judging that. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying about that. But how fucking horrific that I'm in a situation where I'm thinking I'm about to have my intestines burst because you motherfucking low-life scumbags won't listen to me and trust me that I know my own fucking body. Who the fuck are you to have gone through 10 years of your medical establishment and tell me you don't trust me and that I'm only in there to take drugs, that I want to walk out with a bottle full of medical-grade painkillers? Really? You never took a fucking x-ray, did you? So she finally brings a doctor in. The doctor comes in, and he's checking me, and he pushes on my stomach, and I moan. He says, we better have an x-ray. And I'm thinking to myself, 10 hours fucking later, I finally get an x-ray. What the fuck is wrong with you people? Takes an x-ray, comes back into the room, and he says, Dan, been doing this a long time. Never seen anything this bad in my life. Your block is just fucking horrifying. We've got to get that out of there. And I'm thinking at that point, oh, thank God. Again, I don't believe in God. I'm just going to use that as an expression. Thank God you're here, doctor. He says, okay, well, listen, I'm going to come back in here in a couple minutes. I'm going to give you a shot through your stomach to numb the pain, and then I'm going to go up through your colon, and I'm going to get that blockage out of there. So I wait 15, 20, 30 minutes or whatever. Nobody shows up. The nurse comes in. How you feeling? I said, I feel like shit. Where's the doctor? And she says, well, he's the only one on call. And we just had an accident victim. A young kid just had a car accident. He might die. The doctor has to go tend to him, and we're going to have to leave you for the time being. And I'm thinking to myself at this point, I'm going to fucking lose my colon. I'm going to end up with a colostomy bag. I'm thinking the ineptitude of these motherfucking people, their inability to understand what's going on. And that didn't mean that I didn't have empathy for that kid. Anybody who's in a situation where they might die, I have empathy for that. But at the same time, I'm thinking to myself, but you don't have any other fucking doctors you can call in here and help me? So I might end up with a colostomy bag because you people won't, out of all the money you make in your medical establishment and all your hospitals and all this stuff, you can't call another doctor in here? So she leaves. And I decided I had been laying in bed for 10 hours. I was going to at least get up. And I got a hospital gown on. If anybody, any of you out there know what I'm talking about, it's got the open back that shows your ass. And it's too short. You can't tie it closed. So I'm walking down the hallway regardless in these little fucking hospital slippers and stuff. And I'm thinking, this is fucked up. This is really fucked up. So I'm walking around a little bit, just trying to loosen my legs, whatever, get a little air. Then all of a sudden I start getting a gurgling in my stomach, my guts, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, am I finally going to be able to fucking shit? And so I walked into a public restroom. Now, understand, in the room I was in, I had my own bathroom. I'm walking here in my room. I hope I'm not going to lose sound here. I hope this is going to get cut off, so I'm going to actually sit down, if you can understand what I'm saying. So I go into the public bathroom in the hospital, and I sat on the toilet, and I had diarrhea, the shits. And again, it's going to get worse from here, so if this bothers you, stop listening. So I have the shits for about I don't know, 10, 15 minutes straight. And I'm holding my gut and I'm just in pain and I'm shitting and shitting and shitting. It's just squirting into the toilet. And I'm just, I didn't look down. I didn't feel the need to. I'm just thinking all these laxatives that I've taken, all these drugs finally are clearing out this blockage I have. Well, little did I know, it wasn't the shit that was inside my intestines that was coming out. It was my intestines had burst. I had a tear in my intestine that was bleeding profusely, and I was shitting nothing but pure blood, pure blood. There was no stool in it whatsoever. And I looked down at a certain point after it had subsided a bit. I looked down and it was just, the toilet was filled with just pure blood, pints of pure blood. There was no stool in it, nothing. That blockage hadn't moved a bit. I had shit pints of blood. If you can, imagine how I felt. Imagine how you would feel. So I'm sitting there and I'm thinking to myself, okay, what do I do now? And I thought, I can't just go walk all the way back to the other side of the hospital and leave a toilet full of blood here. So I flushed the toilet. And maybe I never should have done that. But I thought, I'm not going to let anybody else come walking in here and see a toilet full of blood and say, oh my God, what is this fucking horseshit? So I flushed the toilet. I figured the nurse would believe me, and she didn't. I went all the way back to my room, told her what had happened, and she said, I don't believe you. Did you save it in the toilet? I said, no. And she said, well, I can't believe you then. And she proceeded to take a quick test of my colon and said, I do verify you've got a little bit of blood in there, but I don't see where there's anything to be concerned about. At that point, I told her, give me my fucking clothes. I'm going home. She said, I can't do that. We have to take care of you. I said, you haven't taken care of me over the last 12 hours, 10 hours. I'm going home because you people obviously aren't going to help me. And she said, you can't go home. We're not going to let you go home. And she left. I found my clothes. I left and I went home. And I laid down, dozed off for a little bit, woke up, and my insides were just gurgling like crazy. And I got up and took a shit, and it was actually stool. Some blood, but it was stool. I had finally gotten that blockage out of there. But the tear in my intestine ulcerated. It became an ulcer, and it got more infected and more infected and became colitis. That's what colitis is. It's a tear in the lining of your intestine that gets bacteria in it, and it gets infected. And your body starts attacking it, doesn't know when to stop attacking, and it keeps attacking to the point where it starts killing healthy cells, which makes the ulcer even bigger and worse. And that's what autoimmune diseases do. It's where your immune system doesn't know when to stop attacking what it thinks is inflammation and infection. So this got worse and worse. Next thing I knew, I spent 15 years of my life losing my hair, being sick as a dog. I felt like I had the flu 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. My joints hurt. My muscles hurt. I was sick. I was anemic. I was bleeding. I was wet as a ghost. I lost 40 pounds. I only weigh, 160, 170. I was down to about 110. I was sick, and I kept going to doctors, and they kept telling me, oh, Dan, I told them the story about being hit with the cart. And once I told them that story, they all backed off trying to help me because they knew that if they said to me, you have this wrong with you, that I would then drag them into a court of law to verify, to litigate against this guy, Don, who hit me in the first place, and say, I have this happening to me now because of what Don did to me. And I could tell these doctors were scared shitless of having to go into a court of law and having to go through a lawsuit. So I went through 15 years of doctors telling me there was nothing wrong with me. Talked to lawyers and said, well, the doctors are saying there's nothing wrong with you. We don't have any case. There's nothing we can do about it. This went on for 15 years of my life. And with an amazing stroke of luck, I'm running out of time here. I'm going to try to speed this up. I just so happened to have gone home to my hometown, which is a few hours from Rochester, where I had this whole thing happen, Rochester, New York. And I had an ingrown hair on my chin that was caused from the way I was shaving that got infected. So I called up my doctor's office, saw a friend of mine who I had gone through my whole life in school with, good friend of mine who had gone on to become a doctor. I hadn't even thought to go see him. And I wanted to have the ingrown hair removed. Now, understand at this point, I am sick as a dog. I look like shit. I have for 15 years that I hadn't seen him. He comes in to take a look at my ingrown hair and looked at me and said, "Oh, my God, Dan, what happened to you?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "You look like shit." And I said, "That's funny because I feel worse than shit." He said, "What happened?" I told him the story. He said, "The symptoms you're describing, Dan, you might have colon cancer. We need to get you a colonoscopy." Now, at this point, I didn't even know what a colonoscopy was. Nobody had even suggested having a colonoscopy. I had one done. Gastroenterologist came out, the doctors who do those, and he said, "You have severe ulcerative colitis. We've got to put you on medication." I'm thinking, okay, good. At least we can heal this. He said, "You don't heal from ulcerative colitis, Dan." And I said, "You mean to tell me I'm going to live with this the rest of my life?" He said, "Yes." As a matter of fact, he said, "As bad as it is, you're in a 95 percentile that you're going to die from colon cancer within the next 10 or 20 years. We have to manage this very carefully." So I decided at that point I wasn't going to go down the path of the pharmaceuticals and the doctors, and that I had had enough. And fortunately, I came across somebody whose computer I worked on at the time with my business fixing computers, a woman named Joan, who saved my life. Had told me about doctors who had been doing work in the area of digestive issues and claimed that they could cure colitis and a lot of autoimmune diseases. Make a long story short, I bought their product, which is not a chemical. It's actually an extract of a particular type of aloe plant. They made a claim that they would cure you or else they'd give you your money back. And I thought, that's good enough for me. And I trusted them. I tried the product and took it for about 2 weeks and started to feel better. And at that time, I actually had another meeting with my gastroenterologist to plan my next colonoscopy. And I went in to see him. And at this point, understand again, I'm on this product for about 2 weeks. And they had a regimen of something like 6 weeks that I had to take this stuff. And I told him about it. And he laughed and said, "Dan, I told you, you don't cure this stuff. If it makes you feel better, just keep wasting your money. Let's get you in a month from now and have a colonoscopy." I went in, had a colonoscopy, and they put you under for this stuff. Sometimes they don't, but they did with me. This doctor does. They put you under anesthetic. And so he comes into the room after he had done the colonoscopy, and I'm coming to, and I'm fairly awake. And he walked over. The look on his face was priceless. And he looked at me and he said, "Dan, you not only don't have colitis anymore, you don't even show signs of scarring that you ever had it in the first place." And I wanted to get much more deeply into the whole story behind this whole thing. But I'm going to tell you something. I will talk about this more. You can heal anything with nutrition. Get the fuck away from pharmaceutical drugs. Get away from doctors telling you that you need to take drugs and you need to do this, that, and the other thing. They don't know a fucking goddamn thing about nutrition. Very few of them do. I healed myself of severe ulcerative colitis, which was the most debilitating thing I had been through after all the shit I'd been through in my life. I cured myself with nutrition. I'm alive, well, and kicking ass right now, and I couldn't be more humbled and alive and so happy and content with being healthy. And I want to spread the word. You have my email address from the beginning of the show if you want to contact me. I'd be more than glad to tell you what I took and what it took to get to where I'm talking about. Hope you enjoy the show. I really enjoy talking about it. I wish I had more time.